Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. Today I'm going to be preaching from the book of Romans, beginning at chapter 1. And my text is Romans 1, 16 and 17. And that's where the Apostle Paul wrote, by inspiration of the Spirit, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," which was a right way of referring to the Gentiles. Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," or the justified, "shall live by faith." Now this message is the conclusion of a series of messages that I've been preaching on how to interpret the Bible. And I've given 8 rules of interpretation. Now, I wanted to take this opportunity to conclude this series of 10 messages, is what it's amounted to, by going back over some of the most fundamental truths in the Scripture concerning the gospel. So I've entitled this message, "Recovering the Gospel." And what I'm going to do is take you on a little journey throughout this message, through the book of Romans. I'm not going through the whole book of Romans. That would be too much. But I'm just going to hit the highlights. And I'm going to apply the 8 rules of interpretation of the Bible to show you what the gospel really is. The gospel is a particular message revealed by God. And I'm going to use the rules of interpretation. I've given you 8 rules. The first one is the rule of Jesus Christ crucified, raised from the dead. Rule number 2, the rule of first mention. The truths that I'm going to be preaching today are first mentioned back in Genesis, the first chapters of Genesis. Rule number 3, the rule of simplicity. This is what God says, and it's true whether we believe it or not. I trust and hope and pray that I and you will believe it. The rule of revelation, that's rule number 4. That means that we're totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to us. But here, as I read in verse 17, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The rule of language, these words mean things. What is this righteousness? What is the righteousness of God? I'm going to deal with that. The rule of context. What context? What does the context of these verses tell us about their meaning? The surrounding passages. The rule of comparison. We're going to compare Scripture with Scripture. And then the rule of typology. We'll even see some of the types and the pictures that we find in the Bible to support these truths. So in this message of recovering the gospel, let's look at it again. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The word gospel means good news. And he says it's the gospel of Christ. This gospel, this good news concerns a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel is good news only in light of our problem. And what is our problem? Our problem is sin in light of the holiness and the justice of God. And what the Bible tells us about this issue of sin, our problem of sin, first of all, we've all got the problem. There's none of you out there, and there's no one here in before this camera, including me, that is beyond this problem of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That literally means we've missed the mark. Well, what is the mark? The mark is righteousness. And the Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Now listen, if you're going to interpret Scripture correctly, don't delegate that off into someone else and say, well, now that's not me. By nature, that's me. By nature and by practice, I am not righteous. Now, I can tell you I am righteous, but not in myself. I'm righteous in Christ, and I'll explain that in a minute. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Don't look at others. Look at yourself. You see, the Holy Spirit reveals these things to God's people in conviction, showing that God is a holy God. God is a just God, and He cannot save you. He cannot save me. He cannot forgive us. He cannot justify us apart from His holiness, His justice, His righteousness, His truth being satisfied. God must be just when He justifies. God must be just when He shows mercy. He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. But He is a gracious God. But He cannot show love and grace and mercy apart from justice being satisfied. And the only payment for strict justice is death. The soul that sinneth must die. The wages of sin is death. Now what that teaches me and you is that we cannot rise above our sin problem. We cannot cure our sin problem. Listen, our religion will not cure it. It will not wash away sins. Our dedication will not wash away sins. Our sincerity will not wash away sins. Our attempts at morality will not wash away sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But we must go back to the initial question. How can a holy God, a righteously just God, how can He look at me, a sinner, and forgive me? Cleanse me from sin, justify me, and still be God. Now that's the issue of the gospel. That's the question of questions. How can a man, sinful man, fallen, ruined, be just with holy God? And the Bible teaches us that it cannot be by works. The Bible teaches us that if God were to judge any of us at any time, even at our best, based on our works, we would be damned forever. Lord, Psalm 130, verse 3, Lord, if Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, charge us with sin, who would stand? None of us. So, what is the good news? Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so, if you look back in Romans chapter 1, listen to verse 1. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:1, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. This is God's gospel. Man didn't come up with this. Which He, God, had promised afore or before by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Same gospel in the Old Testament as in the New. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's the perfect, sinless humanity of Christ. That one who was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit and was born as in the city of David. He is man without sin. Perfect man. And then verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He is God. He is God in human flesh. He's the God-man. Now the first thing the good news of the gospel tells us as we interpret the Scripture is that this is the kind of person that it takes to save a sinner like me from sin. He must be God and man in one person. He must be the Word made flesh. He must be Emmanuel, God with us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God in human flesh. He must be God because only God has the power to save us from our sins. He must be man because only man can die in the place of his people. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, eternal Son of God, was appointed by the Father before the foundation of the world to be the surety and the substitute of his people. The Scripture speaks of him as being the Lamb of God from the foundation of the world. And all his people were put in. God chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ. And all their salvation is wrapped up in this person. Now he goes on over in Romans 1:16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." There's the gospel of Christ. "For it," that is the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Now that word power, what does it mean? Well, it means the ability. You see, you don't have the ability to save yourself. You don't even have the ability to believe spiritually. I don't have that ability. But God does. This word power is an old ancient Greek word that we get our English word dynamite from. It's a powerful thing. It's the power of God unto salvation, but to everyone that believeth. Now believeth what? Believe the gospel. And it doesn't matter what your race, your nationality, your culture, your ethnicity, your socioeconomic status. It's to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the Gentile. The Jews first because God chose them to bring this revelation through, to even bring Messiah through according to the flesh. But it's also to the Gentile. But now look at verse 17. He says, "For therein," in that gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." From faith, meaning the body of doctrine, the gospel message. To faith, that is to those whom God has given faith to believe. "As it is written, the justified shall live by faith." Those who are justified before God live by looking to Christ. Now, what is this revelation of the righteousness of God? What is the gospel? It's the revelation of Christ as the righteousness of God. My friend, listen. People say today they have all kinds of different ideas. Somebody says, well, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. Well, listen, the gospel message includes the historical facts of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. But just to use those historical facts and say that the gospel is not so. It's not just that he died. It's not just that he was buried. And it's not just that he arose from the dead. Listen, you can't preach the gospel without those. But if that's all you know, you don't know the gospel. Why did he die? Why was he buried? Upon what ground was he raised from the dead? What was this all about? Why did he have to die? And what did his death accomplish? That is answered in this phrase, the righteousness of God. What is this righteousness of God? Well, it's what we need as sinners to be saved from our sins. It's what we need as sinners to be made just before God. It's what we need as sinners to be secured for salvation. You see, we need the righteousness of God. We don't need the righteousness of man. First of all, what is righteousness? Righteousness does not lie in what we do or don't do. You know, that's how most people measure righteousness today. Well, it's always been that way. They measure righteousness by what they don't do or what they are not. Some go a little further. They measure it by what they do. But righteousness cannot be measured by what you do or don't do, or I do or don't do. Righteousness must be measured by God's standard. And where do we find God's standard of righteousness? We find it in the person and obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you say, well, I know I'm righteous because I love everybody. Now let me tell you something. I hope you do your best to love everybody. But your best efforts to love everybody will not make you righteous before God. It will not measure up to righteousness. You see, your best efforts, if it could be called righteousness, at best would be the righteousness of man. But in the gospel, it's revealed there the righteousness of God. The Bible says in Acts 17:31, as Paul preached to the Greek philosophers on Mars Hill, he said, God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he hath given us assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. My friend, if I'm expecting God to accept me and declare me righteous based upon my attempts at loving everybody, then my love must measure up and be equal to Christ and His love. And listen, there's no way my love, my attempts at love, measure up to His. Now, that's not to say I shouldn't do my best to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love you as myself, to love God perfectly. Oh, listen, there's no limit to how far we should go in loving God and loving one another. But our love to God and our love to one another will not equal the righteousness we need for salvation. We need the righteousness of God. And I hope you understand that. Well, what is this righteousness of God? Well, Paul starts in Romans 1:18, and he goes all the way over to Romans 3, showing us why we need the righteousness of God. It's because we're sinful men and women. We are sinners, and among us there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none, he says, that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one, according to God's standard. That's not to say that there are not moral people in the world, religious people, sincere people. There's a lot of moral, sincere, charitable, religious people in the world. But if we're going to interpret the Bible right, we have to see these things in their context. What does God require of me for salvation? Perfect righteousness. And I don't have it in myself. And I can't work it. The best I can do will not measure up. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Well, where will I find righteousness? Well, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, listen to this. He writes, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." That's subject to the judgment of God. "Therefore," verse 20, "by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." But here's the good news. Here's the righteousness of God. "But now the righteousness of God without the law," that is without our obedience to the law, "is manifested, made known, revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The righteousness of God is Jesus Christ crucified and raised again from the dead. You see, this is the gospel. This is how God can be just and justified. It's the imputed righteousness of Christ. It's a righteousness that He worked out and is literally charged to the account of His people. And who are they? Those who come to faith in Him, those who believe in Him, not all without exception. You see, my friend, the gospel, listen to me, and I wouldn't offend you for the world, but I want to tell you the truth. The gospel is not God loves you, Christ died for you, and you make the difference. That is not the gospel. You see, God's love for His people is in Christ because Christ makes the difference. It's not your decision that makes the difference between heaven and hell, between saved and lost. It's what Christ did on the cross. Now believe Him. Believe it. You see, it says, "even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." That's a good translation. In other words, it wasn't my faith in Him that brought forth and made effectual the righteousness of God. It was His faith, Christ's faith, to do what the Father sent Him to do. He was and is faithful in all things. Now, by God's grace, I have faith in Christ, but my faith is not perfect. My faith does not equal righteous. My faith in Him does not equal righteous. I have moments and times of doubt. I wrestle. And that's sin. I'm a sinner. That's why I'm in the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. But Christ's faith, His faithfulness to do what He agreed to do before the foundation of the world, He said, I have finished the work which You gave me to do. His faith was perfect in every way. And so it's unto all, that is, it's to be preached to everybody, but it's upon all them that believe. In other words, righteousness of God is imputed, charged to everyone who believes this gospel. Verse 24 of Romans 3, he says, being justified freely, unconditionally, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What did it take for Him to bring about redemption? His blood. He says in verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. There's that word propitiation. What does it mean? Interpret it, see. It means satisfaction. Christ brought satisfaction through faith in His blood, His death, to declare His righteousness. That's what His blood means. It's righteousness, the righteousness of God, for the remission, the forgiveness, the pardon of sins that are past. That's the Old Testament saints. Through the forbearance of God, verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that God might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Isn't that good news? God looks at a sinner like me and He can be gracious and loving and merciful and still be righteous and true to Himself and just and save me. How? Based upon the merits of His Son, the righteousness of His Son imputed to me. And the book of Romans goes through talking about that. Here he speaks of David in Romans chapter 4. Listen to this in verse 6. He talks about David, who's described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. And I could go through each chapter, but over in chapter 8, it talks about that. You see, the hope of a sinner before God is the hope of the non-imputation of sin to that sinner and the imputation of righteousness to that sinner. And that's why he says here in verse 33 of Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see there? The whole salvation of a sinner is in the fact that God does not and cannot charge him with his sin. But God being just, he must deal with sin. God cannot look at you or look at me and just say, well, let's forget it. I'm a loving God. I'm a merciful God, so I just feel sorry for you. No, God's a just God. He must punish sin. So who does he charge it to? He charged it to Christ. The debt of sin was put to Christ's account, and he paid it in full. And as a result, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, is imputed to his people, charged to his people. It's like he paid my debt in full and he gave me his riches on my account, an inheritance, a richness of grace and glory. And so, yes, God is a merciful God. Yes, God is a gracious God. But he cannot show mercy or grace to sinners without justice being satisfied. And justice cannot be satisfied by the works, the efforts, the decisions of a sinner. It can only be satisfied by Christ. Let me read you this passage in Romans 10. Paul speaking of his Jewish brethren who are unbelievers. And he says in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, what is the righteousness of God? Well, verse 4 tells us, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now that word end, Christ is the end of the law. That means the fulfillment, the completion, the perfection, the finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So if you believe, my friend, if you truly believe, as you see the meaning of the Scriptures here, the interpretation of the Bible, you believe that Christ met all conditions, fulfilled all requirements, all stipulations, that He fulfilled it all and secured your salvation. If you believe that He did His part and the rest is up to you, you don't believe what the Bible teaches. You don't believe the gospel. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. In the Old Testament, book of Jeremiah, for example, just one of the many examples, Christ in prophecy is identified by the term, the old Hebrew term, Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's in Revelation, in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, and Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16. And that term Jehovah Tsidkenu means this. It means the Lord, our righteousness. That's what it means. This whole issue of righteousness means salvation. And Christ is my salvation. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for God made Him sin, Christ who knew no sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I hope that in seeing these things and using these rules of interpretation of Scripture, you'll see this by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, as He opens your eyes and ears and your heart. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.